it's Easter. That's what most people call it. And Easter sometimes brings thoughts of the bunny, the Easter eggs. No, the bunny, does the bunny lay the eggs or does it just distribute them? I'm sure there's a scientific study out there somewhere that'll tell us. But for a lot of people, this is what Easter is, and this is all Easter is. But I like to call it Resurrection Sunday. So today we celebrate that. And our text this morning is found in Mark 16, verses 1 through 8. And I encourage you to stand for the reading of the word again. Mark 16, verses 1 through 8. Reading in Jesus' name. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. And he said, as he said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Lord, we thank you again for your word, and we thank you that we can freely read your word and possess copies of the word, Lord. And I just thank you for the truths that are in store for us there. Now, Lord, I just pray now that as we look at this passage and other scriptures, that you'll speak to us through them. And I thank you again in your name. Amen. You may be seated. And I guess if I were to title this morning, I would title it Resurrection Realities, or the three E's we're looking at. The empty tomb. The eyewitnesses and the eternity of his presence. And I want to read, and I'm sure many of you have seen this and read this, but it's from Chuck Colson, who was involved in the Watergate situation. And later became a very devout follower of Christ. "I know the resurrection is a fact, and Watergate proved it to me. How? Because 12 men testified they had seen Jesus raised from the dead. Then they proclaimed that truth for 40 years, never once denying it. Everyone, each of them, was beaten, tortured, stoned, and put in prison. They would not have endured that if it weren't true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep alive for 3 weeks. You're telling me 12 apostles could keep alive for 40 years? Absolutely impossible." And we want to look at the realities today. And a lot of it's going to be scriptures. I've got a handout with a lot of scriptures. And also there's going to be some, I'll intersperse some illustrations and some comments. But first of all, we saw the empty tomb. The tomb was empty. And the angel at the tomb declared the resurrection to be a fact. And then I'm going to go to Matthew 28, verses 1 and 2, and then down to 5 and 6. It'll be on your handout there. "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay." And I think one thing I noticed in this, the angel rolled the stone, but I think we need to understand that the Lord did not need the stone to be rolled away in order to rise, but the stone was rolled away so men could see where he had been and that he was not there. Little Philip, born with Down syndrome, attended a third grade Sunday school class with several 8-year-old boys and girls. Typical of that age, the children did not readily accept Philip with his differences, according to an article in Leadership Magazine. But because of a creative teacher, they began to care about Philip and accept him as part of the group, though not fully. The Sunday after Easter, the teacher brought legs, pantyhose containers, the kind that looks like a large egg. Each receiving one, the children were told to go outside on that lovely spring day and find some symbol for new life and put it in the egg-like container. Back in the classroom, they would share their new life symbols, opening the containers one by one in surprise fashion. After running about the church property in wild confusion, the students returned to the classroom and placed the containers on the table. Surrounded by the children, the teacher began to open them one by one. After each one, whether a flower, butterfly, or leaf, the class would ooh and ah. Then one was open, revealing nothing inside. The children exclaimed, "That's stupid. That's not fair. Somebody didn't do their assignment." Philip spoke up, "That's mine." "Philip, you don't ever do things right," the student retorted. "There's nothing there." "I did so do it," Philip insisted. "It's empty. The tomb was empty." And from then on, Philip became a full and respected member of the class. And also we look at that scripture that we just read. The angel reminded the women that Jesus' prediction of his resurrection had been fulfilled. He said, "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said." In Luke 24, starting with 6 through verse 9, "Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told these things to the 11 and to all the rest." And I've mentioned this recently as well. You look at the Gospels, and we need to realize that the four Gospels were written at separate times by separate people in separate places. It wasn't as if they gathered around the table with their quills in hand, or whatever they used in those days, say, "I'll write this, you write that." These four Gospels are written by four diverse men in four diverse places at different times, and the agreement that we find in them is astonishing, I believe. And then we look at the Jews and the Jewish leaders' excuse. They attempted, or did concoct, an audacious lie as to what, as to explain this. Matthew 28, verses 12 to 13. "When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers. Now these soldiers had failed miserably in their duties. But they gave a large sum of money to these soldiers who were guarding the tomb, saying, 'Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept.'" Now I think in the Roman culture, or in the culture of the day, a soldier that was so derelict in their duties that they would sleep on the job would have probably been cause for severe punishment or maybe even death. But instead, they were given a large sum of money to perpetuate this lie. And, you know, even if the soldiers had fallen asleep, wouldn't the rolling of the stone and all the commotion involved with stealing a body, wouldn't that have awakened them? I mean, how do these people sleep? I'd like to be able to sleep like that. And this makes me feel that it's likely that the chief priests and the Jewish leaders believed that this miracle had taken place, but they just could not accept it because it flew in the face of their agenda. And we see that happening in the world today. Reject the truth because it doesn't fit your agenda. During the early 1920s, a communist leader, named Nikolai Bukharin was sent from Moscow to Kiev to address an anti-God rally. For an hour, he abused and ridiculed the Christian faith until it seemed as if the whole structure of belief was in ruins. Then questions were invited. An Orthodox church priest rose and asked to speak. He turned, faced the people, and gave the Easter greeting, "He is risen." Instantly, the assembly rose to its feet, and the reply came back, "He is risen indeed." And then I'm just going to read a couple of more scriptures. Luke 24:12, and then on to John 20, verses 6 and 7. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been placed around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in the place by itself. Now, do you suppose that if there were people that had come to steal the body, they had to roll the stone away, they would have had to somehow remove the body and then fold up the stuff after they did this? Would they have taken? Well, it's absurd to me. And then I don't have this scripture in there, but John 19:39 talks about the 100 pounds of embalming spices that were used to embalm the body. And according to some scholars, since some of these spices come from the resin of trees, they would likely have made the grave clothes stiff after a few hours in the coolness of the tomb. The appearance of the wrappings would have looked much like a hollow cocoon, having the general shape of a body, though devoid of the body itself. And they certainly wouldn't have taken the time to fold things neatly. And second, we have eyewitness testimony from so many people. And as we look at this, they testified to Christ's vitality or the life that was in him. And we see eyewitnesses that had talked with him and saw him walking and speaking. He walked and talked with the disciples on the road to Emmaus. We can see that in Luke 24. And also in Luke 24, he led his disciples out as far as Bethany and blessed them before his ascension. Eyewitnesses said that after Christ's resurrection, he could be touched. John 20, verses 26 and 27 attests to that. After 8 days, the disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Poor Thomas, he gets kind of abused for this. Thomas with them, Jesus came, and doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your fingers here, and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And I wonder if there are, we're Thomases sometimes, and it's easy for us to doubt some things. And I'm sure there would have even been people if that opportunity was offered to them, they still wouldn't have believed. And eyewitnesses said that after Christ's resurrection, he could taste. Luke 24, verses 42 and 43. So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. And there are many people that attested to his visibility. They saw him. He was seen by the women, Luke 24, 10. He was seen by the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. We spoke about that earlier. He was seen by the 11 disciples in the upper room. He was seen by seven disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He was seen by 500 brethren at once. And if you reference 1 Corinthians 15, 6, I didn't put this one in there, but Paul mentions in that passage that most of those were still alive at the time of this writing. They attested to it. They were eyewitnesses. And of course, he was seen by Paul the Apostle on the road to Damascus. If you look at 1 Corinthians 15, those last two things were both found in 1 Corinthians 15. And I was trying to think of the right wording for this. We know he's eternal, and I wrote the eternal tenant, but he's eternally dwelling through his spirit. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit." So his was the power of the resurrection, and he died once and once for all. And John 16, 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." And then Acts 2, verses 1 through 4, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And the proof of the resurrection and the sending of the Helper is found in these passages. When he ascended, he did not leave us without the Helper that he promised. And I'm just going to close with a little poem here. But be confident. Jesus is alive and well. And his spirit is still active in the world today. And he is our resurrected Savior. And I'm going to bring this up every Sunday. If you haven't made a decision for him, do not delay. And I just encourage you to look to him for guidance, and also look to him for your salvation. And follow, not only believe, but accept. I got a hunch that some of the Jewish leaders believed, but they could not accept what that truth was. "Tomb, thou shalt hold him no, thou shalt not hold him longer. Death is strong, but life is stronger. Stronger than the dark is the light. Stronger than the wrong is the right. Faith and hope triumphant say, Christ will rise on resurrection day." Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the empty tomb. We're thankful for the eyewitnesses who reported it, and also for his resurrection. And as we talk about the eyewitnesses, that they were witnesses to him walking and talking among them after his crucifixion. And Lord, we thank you that you are eternal, and that we can approach you, and that we can come to you for salvation, and and you will deliver us, and you will grant us eternal life with you. Now, Lord, we just pray again as we close the service this morning that through all the celebrations with family and friends today, that we will remember the true meaning of this day, and that the meaning of this day will be carried on throughout the year. Lord, I just thank you again in your name. Amen.